We continue our learning. By way of introduction, generally speaking, if we have a davar haaser, an item that's prohibited, if we exchange it for money, let's say you sell, let's say, orla fruit is prohibited b'hana for the first 3 years of a tree, and I sell that fruit and I get money in exchange. So certainly on a daraisa level, that money does not have any prohibition whatsoever. The orla fruit's prohibited, but that which I get in exchange for the orla fruit is not prohibited. The exception to that is avodah zarah, exchange of avodah zarah. The money is prohibited. Exchange of shmita fruit. If you sell shmita fruit, you get money in exchange. That has kedusha shvius. But everything else, we assume, does not have the prohibition of the item itself. Whether it's asur derabanan still, so that's a machlokas rishonim. According to Rashi, there's an asur derabanan on that money, and we should not use that money on a derabanan level. It remains asur bahana. When it comes to, let's say, this orla fruit as an example that was sold, the money should not be used according to Rashi midrabanan, and according to the Ran, it's perfectly permitted. Now, how do we apply this to neder? Well, neder is also something that's prohibited. So if a person makes a neder on a particular food, so we would say, now he exchanges that for money. So according to Rashi, maybe we would say there's still an issur derabanan on that money, and according to the Ran, that money should be permitted. But there's another factor to keep in mind, and that is, when it comes to nedarim, we say nedarim atofes, we seize the prohibited item, we say we compare it to a nedavar hanadur. We say, it should be usher like a karban. Now, the laws of karbanos are very different. A person gives something to the Beis HaMikdash, designated to the Beis HaMikdash, so what happens? So when you redeem it, the sanctity of that item is transferred to the money. If I would do that over here, so I take my davar hanadur, which is usur, and say, I'm not going to get hana from this, but I'm going to exchange it on money. That's not what happened. Maybe that item goes out, is freed from its kedusha, from its prohibition, but the money should take hold of the prohibition. So maybe exchanging a fruit that I prohibited upon myself through a neder, maybe the money that I have now should be prohibited it as well. So it's another factor to keep in mind. One other issue the Mishnah is going to discuss here is something that grows from an item that's prohibited by a neder. So if a person prohibits, let's say, an onion through an neder, and we'll discuss the issue with onion specifically, onion, garlic is in an interesting category, and he plants the onion, what's the halacha now? What grows from the onion? Do we say, well, the onion was usher, so that which grows from the onion is going to be usher as well? Or do we say, no, the products of the onion were never included in that as well? And that is questionable, because let's say when it comes to truma, so the halacha is midoraisa, that which grows from truma. I take truma and I have truma grain and I grow it into the ground, and that which grows from it, midoraisa, it's okay, but midorabon, it's going to be prohibited. What's the halacha when it comes to nedarim? So we'll discuss that. Not so clear, we'll see that as well. One other thing to keep in mind is, remember, we learned the Mishnayos Vav and Zayin in the previous perek, that a person who took a neder from wine at Stam, he just said wine, well, he's allowed to have something with the ta'arovis, with a mixture of wine. But if he said, and the same thing when it comes to meat, same thing, and he can have the liquid of the meat juice. But let's say he said konam basar zeolai, this particular piece of meat, or yayin zeh, so then he's also even to have anything benosein tam, anything that has the taste of it as well. If you remember, olives and grapes, we said as well, if a person takes an edit from olives and grapes, he's allowed to have wine and oil. But if he says, konam zeisim vanavim elu sheini toim, these in front of me, so then he's not allowed to have that the juice that comes out from it as well. The Gemara Nedarim Daf Nun Beis says the same thing would be true if he said, konam zeisim vanavim elu, and he didn't add the words eini toim. Remember, we discussed that. The issue is that it's elu, these in front of me, then I can't have the juice. What if you said, you didn't say elu. So eini toim, so that's a debate in the Gemara. On the one hand, you could say, well, he didn't say elu, so it's only zeisim and anovim he prohibits upon himself and not the juice. On the other hand, he said zeisim vanovim eini cheini toim. So although he didn't say elu, but he said eini toim, maybe eini toim means I don't want to have anything mita'amo shel ha'ma'achal, anything from the taste, which includes anything that comes out from it, or a mixture. So that is also discussed a little bit in our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah like this. Person says, konam peros ha'elu alai. These peiros upon me, or konam heim al pi, or they're a karban for my mouth, or konam heim lifi, towards my mouth. Basically, peiros, there are fruit sitting in front of him, and he used one of these lashonos. And the same thing would be true if he said konam peiros makom ploni alai, or konam peiros ploni alai, as we'll learn in the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, asur b'chilufei hem, he's not permitted to have the exchange of those peiros. So it gets back to the beginning of the introduction. If he gets money in exchange of these peiros or other peiros in exchange of these peiros, he's not allowed to have them either. Because when you say peiros, elu alai, so we assume that includes the chilufehem, that includes the exchange from them. So if take into account what we discussed before, why are these aser? To what extent are they aser? So the Bar Tanura, basically following Rashi from our introduction, says that these are asumi derabban. Bar Tanura says derabbanan gazru al demei isurei hana. And therefore we treat them midrabanan. But the Ran, who, if you remember, does not hold that there's any issur derabanan for someone who exchanges something that's asur. So according to him, he thinks that which was received in replacement for the forbidden fruit is asur midaraisa. And therefore, when you would direct this particular neder to an item, so it's going to have the same level of the same degree of issur as the item itself. Okay, so that is the status of this issur. Either way, asru b'chilufayhen and uvi gidulehem, which means it includes that which grew from them, took a neder from these items. If now they were replanted, so since the noder said these particular peiros, they're like hektesh, and therefore you're not allowed to have both chilufehem and gidulehem like hektesh, which are going to be also. What if he says sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani toem? He says konam peros sha'ani ochel or konam peros sha'ani toem. So then here he didn't say elu. He just said I'm not going to taste or eat. Mutu b'chilufehen uvigidulehem. Then he's allowed to have the exchange, the money that was exchanged for them, or fruit that was exchanged for them, and that which grew for them. Why? Because all he prohibited upon himself was the guf ha-pri, and when he eats the exchange, or uses the exchange, or that which grew from them, he's not tasting those peros that he prohibited upon himself. And the same thing would be true if he said, konam peros ha'elu sha'ani ochel o sha'ani toem. Here he said elu. So what's the difference? Before he said konam peros elu alai konam heinam al pi. There we said asur b'chilufehem v'gidulehem. Here he says konam peros ha'elu shani ochel shani toem. So that may include the ta'aroves, but it does not include chilufehem, the exchange, or gidul, that which grew, because the language of shani ochel and shani toem is not the same as alai or al pi. That specifically refers to that says yes, it's going to include obviously all the taste of the peiros that I was noder about, but that's not going to include anything in addition to that. That will exclude the chilufim and the gidulim, as opposed to the ta'aroves and that which emerges from them. That is the peiros that are obviously usher when he says elu. So once again, when you say shani ochel o shani toem, konam peros elu, these ochel and toem means only ochel and only toem. When I have chilufim, that money is not the taste of that fruit, or new fruit in exchange for that is not the taste of that fruit, nor is fruit that grows from that fruit, gidulim, also the taste of that fruit. And some say that which the Mishnah says in the ratio of peros elu is lavdavka. The difference between the ratio and the sefer is, in the ratio, the person who made the neder, he prohibited the peros bahana, and that's why it's asur b'chilufehem, because the Chachamim made gzeira on chilufim. So according to Rashi, at least, made gzeira on the chilufei isurei hana, and there's an isur gidulehem because we treat gidulim like a hekdesh, where we know there's an exchange and it takes hold on the money as well. But in the seifa, what did he prohibit? He prohibited upon himself the peros ba'achila o b'te'ima only. He didn't prohibit them bahana. So One explanation is the difference in the language that he used. He says, ani toeim, ani ochel, which is doesn't include the chilufim and the gedulim. And others say, no, the difference is that in the Sefer is where he's prohibiting, he's not prohibiting bahana, as opposed to the ratio where he is prohibiting bahana. And then the Mishnah says, bidavar shezaro kala, when it comes to something, only an item whose seed literally decomposes. Meaning what it says in the Sefer, that a person says, kodam perosa elu shani ochel shani toim, where he says he's allowed to have the gidulim, he's allowed to have that which grows from it, it's not included in the neder, and that which we learned in the Resha, kodam perosa elu alai, where it says it's also the gidulim, and it sounds like only the gidulim, but not gidule gidulim, not things that grew from what which grew, the next generation. So that's all bedavosh, bedavosh zarakola. That's where the fruit, where the seed decomposes once the new fruit or vegetable grows. Aval bedavar shein zarakola, which is, let's say, when it comes to onions or garlic. So that's very different. Most plants grow from a seed that has that decomposes as it grows, and there's no remnant of the original seed. Ah, but let's say onion and garlic, certain vegetables, when you plant in, they will produce new plants and they don't decompose themselves. And that's why, so therefore, in such a case, we would say, bedavar shezara, meaning that which we learn, that's all davar shezara kola. Aha, avol bedavar shein zara kola, afilu gidule gidulim, even the next generation, that which grew from that which was plant gidule gidulim. So that for after you planted and then new things grew, then asura, and they're going to prohibit it on the noder. Why? Because there's a little bit of the Isser Harishon there. And the Gemara says, therefore, since a nidarim, you'll say, maybe it should be batel, and so the new thing should be batel. How much of the old is still there anyway? Doesn't matter. It's not going to be batel barov because it's a davar sheish lo matirin. Nidarim is something that I can be matir. I go to a chacham, and davar sheish lo matirin, something that will potentially could become permitted, is never batel. Perek Zayin Mishnah Zayin. Here we have a case of Omer Leishto Konam Masa Yadayich Alai. So any your earnings are going to be prohibited to me. So Mishnah is coming to add halachos about chilufim, exchange and gidulim from someone who took an enna not to get hana from maise yideishto. Talking about a case where a husband prohibited upon himself the that which a woman produces or schar for her melacha. So let's say he said konam yadayich alai lemaseim. In such a case, a neder can be chal. The maise yadayim, if he says he has to be specify something tangible, like her hands. So your ma'aseh yadayim are also to me, so because her hands are in existence, ma'aseh yadayim, that which she earned, is not here yet. It's davar shel b'olam. But her hands are here. So anything your hands produce are going to be also to me. Or konam hena alpi, also to my mouth, konam hem lifi, same language, where he prohibited anything that she prepares for him. Asur b'chilufehen, which means he not only can't get her from the ma'aseh yadayim, her earnings, her that which she produced, itself, but even if the husband exchanged her ma'aseh yadayim for money or for fruit or something else, he can't get hana from that exchange. Uvi gidulehen, and not only that, if, let's say, that which she produced, he now plants, she planted a tree, there was an apple, he now took the seeds, put it in the ground, so either way, that's going to be prohibited as well. Because he used the language of kona ma'aseh yadayich alai, hein alpi, so because that's an isser hana in general, and therefore includes everything, or just the language itself is a little bit different, is all-inclusive, as we explained in the previous Mishnah. But she'eni ochel, she'eni toim, same thing as the previous Mishnah. Said, kona ma'aseh yadayich she'eni ochel, she'eni toim, then mutter b'chilufayen v'gudulayhem. Because the same thing, he said, eni ochel, eni toim. It only prohibits the te'ima, the taste of that which she prepares, and not anything in exchange. Or maybe he's only prohibiting the food and not hana in general. Once again, though, this only applies, the Mishnah says, "Bedavar shezaro kole," where the CD composes it. "Bedavar shein zaro kole," then afili gidule gidulim asurim.